we are here with Dawn Mara of the NAMI Far North, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. On Mental Illness? For Mental Illness? Okay, sorry. Rebecca Little is the Executive Director of Bonner Homeless Transitions here as well. Good morning, Rebecca. And we're also joined by Summer Berman, the new Interim Director for the Sand Creek Clubhouse, who is new in town, apparently. Good morning, Summer.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thanks to you all for being here. I know you just said right before we went more or less live, you said how you wanted to start things out, but I think, Dawn, you wanted to kind of kick things off, didn't you? Tell us why are we here this morning? What brings you into the radio studio?
Well.
Uh-huh. What did brings... you guys get any wind last night, by the way? I got a little wind out of my place.
Yeah, I would live below trees, so yeah. I was looking outside all night. I didn't really get much sleep.
Yeah, it was... my yard is an absolute mess, but no damage as far as I can
tell. I know.
Just a mess.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here because I want to talk about an event that we're having on October 5th. So we'll do that later at the very end. So you have to listen until we get to the end.
Okay.
The NAMI Far North is part of a national organization. We're one of 1,000 or so affiliates for this grassroots organization that has a really good structure to it. We educate, we support, we advocate, and we create awareness for people to improve the quality of life for people with living with a mental health condition and their families. So we actually have a two-prong approach. One thing I want to just review really quick is that mental illness affects us all. It crosses all barriers. 1 in 5, 25%, have experienced some kind of mental health challenge, whether it was severe or persistent or just a mild case of depression or anxiety. But 1 in 20, 5%, live with a serious one that interferes with some part of their life or function. They're less common, but they're still significant because if you look at 1 in 20, that's like you still know somebody that maybe you have had something like that happen to you. And we support the individual and families that really having an effect on their function in some way. And my story is that how I got here is that in my nuclear family, I like that word because I'm a veterinarian. And I like the nucleus. But we had a family member that at the age of 19 came down with something really unusual for us. We didn't know. It was kind of like a brain miswiring. And it turned out to be a chronic and persistent mental illness in the end. And during our journey, we experienced more things than most nuclear families do. When they're raising children, we just had a complete change of life. And with that came a lot of grief and isolation. You know, when we figured out how to navigate the mental health system, which took a while, that was because of NAMI, actually. They really led us in support and education. And now I'm their president. Because they really made us feel like we weren't alone. And I want to pay that back to others that have struggles in their families or friends. The good thing about NAMI is we're volunteer trained and led. We don't really have anybody sponsoring us, which is actually a bad thing too. But what we do best is that we lead by peer or peer-led experience, lived experience, excuse me. And that goes into every program. Okay, well, moving right along. Yes.
One question. What is the general area that NAMI Far North serves?
Oh, excuse me. We serve Bonner and Boundary Counties.
Okay.
We're not serving Boundary as much as we could and should, but we will.
Okay.
It's coming up.
How long is and NAMI Far North, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, that's been around for quite some time.
A
while.
I'm getting a... it's been around since 79. Sorry.
1979. The Far North chapter, how long has that been
here? That's been here since 2007, about 17 years.
Okay. Were you involved in the founding?
No.
No, okay.
No,
so it was already here before.
I found it, and then they found me and made me stay.
Cool.
Which was fun. Yeah. And it is continue to be fun. We're growing and expanding.
Yeah.
So we recently updated our strategic plan to improve the lives of individuals living with mental health conditions. And it was challenging to find a project that we had the bandwidth for, because we are a nonprofit volunteer mm-hmm. organization. And that's like, well, what do you do? I mean, it's hard. So the idea of Clubhouse came out of our local family members, families that were experiencing these devastating mental health challenges. And then there was this gap in our system, so that people that were getting treatment weren't being served afterwards. So there is no therapy for the brain after you get out of a treatment program or a hospital, or you're staying to take medications. You still have more to go. Mm-hmm. And the brain takes a long time to heal. And we've pretty much left people out mm-hmm. of healing. And that's just not fair. And I don't know. I thought about it last night while I was watching the trees blow. Why is there so much discrimination? And yeah. I just don't know. And I think that discrimination really leads to the policies follow when it's not okay to recover, or people don't think about recovery as an option. It just doesn't happen down in the state. So we don't get funding to help people recover from mental illness, which is actually medical illnesses.
Yeah.
They're in that group. So we became our loved ones' clubhouse, and we were underskilled and underfunded. So we decided that we would start something like what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. and it's called Clubhouse. The technical word for what Clubhouse does is psychosocial rehabilitation. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn this over to Summer Berman, because we basically have enough funding now to start our own Clubhouse now, thanks mm-hmm. to our amazing community. I can't even tell you how many people stepped up to the plate. And then from there came generous grantors. And we were able to hire Summer to come here and open our clubhouse. Let's see. So I wanted to tell you that we're using the model called Clubhouse International. And what they have is data-driven, evidence-based programs that get people back into society and recovery in the way that they can. There's over 320 of them in 30 countries. So I looked into their program, and then we gathered together as a group and did training with them. Mm-hmm. And after our funding came, we found Summer. I reeled her in to come here from Michigan. So I'm going to introduce her now, actually. Do you want to maybe have her
give
a little spiel?
Summer, tell us, I guess, how you got here and what your kind of background is in Michigan. When did you arrive?
I just arrived this past weekend. Brand new. I got in this weekend and hit uh-huh. the ground running on Monday. Drove across the country from Michigan, from Detroit. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Southeast Michigan, spent most of my time in Ann Arbor. Michigan has more clubhouses than any other state in the nation, so I have lots of clubhouse experience. I've also spent time at Fountain House in New York City, which is the originator of the clubhouse model and the largest clubhouse in the world, doing some executive training there. So I've been working in the clubhouse movement for about 24 years now. I've been the director of a couple different clubhouses. Most recently, I've been doing some contract work with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and some individual clubhouses. So really have had my hands in a lot of different things in the clubhouse world. And when I got the call from Clubhouse International, where Dawn said they had done their new clubhouse development training, Clubhouse International reached out to me and said, hey, we've got this startup group in Idaho. Would you be interested? And after talking with Dawn and some of the other members of the board, I was really interested in the work that they were doing. And I was attracted by the fact that, as you can tell, that Dawn is very, very passionate mm-hmm. and has they're very dedicated to bringing a clubhouse to Northern Idaho, and they've got really strong leadership and that the community's commitment to securing the resources to make a clubhouse happen is really remarkable. Dawn's been able to do a lot in a short amount of time, which said to me that if I were to come in and start this program, that I would have the resources and support that I needed, both through NAMI and through the larger community to be successful. So as Dawn said, Clubhouse is it's an evidence-based model. In the U.S., it's recognized by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration as a model that helps reduce hospitalization, reduce incarceration, increase rates of employment, and generally improve life outcomes for people living with serious mental illness. So we're talking about people with diagnoses like depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, those types of illnesses. And for many folks, serious mental illness can, in addition to all of the problems that the illness itself creates in your life, it also creates a lot of social isolation for folks. And that can be because of the actual symptoms that folks have, the negative self-talk, actual voices, things like that. Mm-hmm. It can also be because of what we refer to sometimes as social side effects. So as Dawn was talking about, kind of the stigma and friends and family members turning their backs on you because they don't understand what's going on. And so the social isolation can be really detrimental to folks. And so the clubhouse model it's a non-clinical model. We don't do, you know, med management or traditional therapy or anything like that. But what we do is rely on the therapeutic nature of community to help people work on their strengths, their talents, and their abilities and build a sense of self-confidence and purpose and meaning and belonging, which are things that all human beings need, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we have a mental illness or not, we all need to feel like somebody cares about us. Someone is going to miss us if we don't show up somewhere, mm-hmm. that there's a reason for us to get up and get out of bed every day. And with the direct impacts of mental illness and the social side effects of mental illness, many people find that they're missing that sense of purpose and meaning. And so the clubhouse is designed to intentionally create a space where people know that they belong, where they're able to access and tap into their strengths, their talents, and their abilities, and grow and develop as human beings. And then we help them then sort of connect to whatever it is that they want to be working on in life. So employment, education, housing, social supports, all those kinds of things.
What does the actual, what is the kind of the nuts and bolts of how the clubhouse operates? Who's involved? How many people?
Absolutely. That's a super question. So the clubhouse is a membership organization. So people who come to the clubhouse are referred to as members. As I said, it's a non-clinical program, so we don't have patients or clients or anything like that, but we do have members. And as a membership organization, it's run by its members alongside a professional staff. So clubhouses are intentionally designed to have a relatively small staff so that we genuinely rely on the support of the members to operate the clubhouse. So the way that it works is that by being involved in meaningful activity, by developing relationships over the course of that activity, you know, we all know that we've made friends when we go to school, when we work, those are the people who are in our lives. And those are the people who then become meaningful to us and become our support system, that's how we start to understand who we are and how we exist in the world. So the clubhouse is organized a little bit like a co-op in that it is managed collectively by the members and staff together. Mm-hmm. And the work of that organization is sort of twofold. It's meeting the needs of the members and it's meeting the needs of the organization. So the needs of our members are around things like helping them with employment, helping them with housing, helping them connect to resources in the community, helping them have fun every day. So a social recreational program is part of the work that we do as well. And then the work of the clubhouse is genuinely sort of some of the business things that need to happen, right? So we've been working on grant writing. We're going to continue to write grants. Members are going to be involved in that. Members are going to be involved in helping us collect the statistics that Dawn was talking about. We're going to need to report to Clubhouse International annually about our program numbers and things like that. So all of the things that happen in the clubhouse will happen with members and staff side by side. And clubhouse staff use a model called social practice, which I won't go super deep into it, but kind of the idea is that we design work and spaces so that people are encouraged to work together collaboratively. It's a, again, we're challenging the social isolation. So we want to design our environment so that people work together, and we're engaging members in the work of the clubhouse. We're building relationships as that goes. And then we're helping people through those difficult moments. Mental illness can lead to things like difficulties with attention and concentration and memory issues and fatigue and things like that. And so clubhouse staff are highly trained practitioners that are able to sort of look at what is the work that needs to get done here, whether it is as something as simple as we need to make lunch for all of us today so we don't get hangry and, and annoyed with one another, or whether we're grant writing or whatever. And so social practitioners are skilled at looking at that work and being able to work kind of like occupational therapists in some ways to kind of do a task analysis and break down what are the pieces of this, how can I make this work accessible, and how do I make it approachable to a group of people so that we can do it together. So that at the end of the day, we all feel successful. We can say, I accomplished this today. I did it with a team. I feel good. And then ultimately, we take that feeling and then we help people get jobs in the community. We help people go to school. We help people do the things that they're sort of practicing to do in the clubhouse in the world outside of the clubhouse.
Yeah. You mentioned these are very popular in elsewhere. Michigan, you said that there's more there than anywhere else. Are there any clubhouses elsewhere in kind of in our area in Washington?
Not in the state.
Not in the state of Idaho.
Yeah, no.
We'll be the first.
Wow.
We'll be the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's cool. Very exciting.
Well, that is exciting. Yeah. Is this a volunteer opportunity for anybody? I mean, or is this going to be just its members, staff, and that's pretty much who's involved?
So that's very interesting. Because clubhouses are run largely with the support of the members and the work opportunities that members have in the clubhouse, volunteer opportunities in a clubhouse look a little bit different.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be sort of the same as you might volunteer in, you know, a homeless shelter or a food kitchen or something like that, where you're coming and doing the work, because that is actually taking recovery opportunities away from our members.
Sure.
Right. But there are lots of opportunities for the community to get involved in a number of ways. One is becoming an employment partner. Clubhouse has a unique employment program called Transitional Employment, where we partner with local employers, and the clubhouse kind of takes responsibility for a job, an entry-level part-time job. Our staff learn the job. They become job coaches. And then we select a member from the clubhouse who will then be hired by the employer. So we'll work for the employer. But clubhouse staff will serve for free at no cost to the employer as job coaches. So they'll train that member. They'll work side by side with that member until the member feels comfortable, confident. The supervisor feels good. The job coach feels good. The member feels good. Then the job coach slowly starts to peel away until that member is doing the job on their own. They stay in that position for 6 to 9 months, gain the work experience, getting a paycheck. And then after 6 to 9 months, that member comes out, and then we rotate the next member in and the process starts again. So we're definitely looking for employment, transitional employment, placement partners. There's also always opportunities for the community to come in and teach us something. So maybe that is just sort of a fun social rec activity. I've worked in clubhouses where we had community volunteers come in, and for a social rec, they came in and taught flower arranging or taught a tango class or something like that. There's also, you know, potentially opportunities for folks to come and support our members with things like tutoring or support with, you know, writing resumes or things like that. So there's a variety of different ways that people can support the mission. But it's, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different than what they might be used to in other organizations.
Cool. Before we run out of time, let's bring Rebecca into the conversation. You can swing that around. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing pretty well. I'm going to move that a little closer to you. How is Bonner Homeless Transitions involved in this process? In this, what do you call it? In the clubhouse? Yeah. Where do you come in?
So Butter Homeless Transitions and the clubhouse, I think, will kind of go hand in hand because mental illness and homelessness goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
So when you think of homelessness, you typically think of what you see on the news in Seattle or San Francisco. The homelessness that we serve, they're couch surfing, they're suffering mental illness, and they're about ready to lose their apartment because they can't hold a job. They're living in their car, or they're just too afraid to leave a DV situation. So I think that Bonner Homeless Transitions and the clubhouse will work hand in hand because they'll be able to provide that wraparound support for our community members that they haven't had before.
Mm-hmm.
Just with employment opportunities and just having that feeling of belonging. I think homelessness and mental illness, you know, substance abuse is also a huge factor into that. Bonner Homeless Transitions is a drug and alcohol-free facility, or program, I should say. And I think just, again, providing that wraparound support between the clubhouse and our program. Because we don't just help people in the community that are in our program, per se, that are living in our program. We help them if they're trying to find housing, but they're not quite homeless. You know, we help them get on waiting lists. We help them try and advance to a better position in a job. We help them with budgeting, which is all what we help people in our program. But it's also something that the clubhouse will be helping members with as well. So I think just trying to partner together and just provide the wraparound support for the community.
Yeah.
So not only did Rebecca join our clubhouse founder committee, but she's now on the NAMI Far North board of directors. She's not very busy, I guess.
If I can just jump in one more little piece there as well, talking about community engagement and ways that folks can support the clubhouse. The clubhouse will also be developing an advisory council of community leaders who are interested in supporting the mission and maybe don't even know exactly at this point in time how they can contribute. But as we grow as an organization and our place in the community grows, we're going to need more and more folks who are part of the organization. So we'll definitely be looking for folks who want to serve on an advisory committee for us.
This is there's one more thing we need to talk about before
The event.
We go off the
that everyone was holding on for. I know. Tuning in for. Okay.
Thank you for listening. This is our third NAMI Walks. It's the largest grassroots mental health walk in the country. And what it does is gets everybody out, for one. And we also celebrate the fact that, you know, we can talk about our meet people, obviously, that have similar issues to us or not, or maybe they just want to celebrate that mental illnesses are medical illnesses and that we're actually okay to be sometimes off sometimes. But our walk is also about not being alone and to support the people that are coming. We have a lot of clubhouse members that are going to come out of the woodwork to support them. We really want the public out there smiling with us. And you can meet our new Summer.
She'll be there. Love to meet folks.
There'll be there'll be mental health resource tables. It's not just a walk. We'll have music from One Dog Down. It's kid and pet friendly. Kayla from the YMCA will be there. And where is this, you ask?
I do ask.
It's North Idaho Animal Hospital. I know, weird, but the parking lot there is huge, and it's right next to the Sandpoint Dover Community Trail. So we'll be walking a very short walk, or not, because we've made it sort of an event for people that are not able to walk. You should come anyway. So it'll be really fun.
Okay.
And that's at 10 o'clock on Saturday, October 5th, so in a week.
Okay.
And a half, or whatever that is.
Yeah, not this weekend, but the next.
Yeah.
10 o'clock a.m. is when it starts.
Yeah, 10 to 12. Come, say hi, get some Evans Brothers coffee. Thank you, Evans. Wow, we have so many people sponsoring us generously. This event is free to the public. You get a t-shirt, for free. Who can do that? No one.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you register in advance,
because of our, it's because of our sponsors. No, we'll give you a T-shirt. You just come on down.
Never mind.
Because of our sponsors, we're able to pay for our programs and make this a free public event.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Bragging rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cool. And T-shirts. That is excellent. The clubhouse. If people are interested in like learning more about the clubhouse, how can they find out?
They should come to NAMI Walks and talk to me.
Well, okay.
On our website at namifarnorth.org.
Okay. There's more information there.
Yes, lots of information there.
Okay.
And but yeah, it's good enough. Yeah.
But go see Summer at the Walk on October 5th at 10 a.m. Very cool. I'm gonna leave it there because we have a jam packed show here. We have another group who wants to get on in here. POAC has arrived and is waiting in the wings.
Thanks for having us, Jack.
The Ponderay Arts Council.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'll play a little music. You guys don't have to run away. But thank you for bringing this clubhouse to our town.
We
look forward to kind of learning more about
as time goes on. Hope we can, when we've got some active members, hope we can come back and you can hear from me and some
November.
Of our members.
We're set to open in November.
So. That would be great. Opening in November. Okay, good deal. Here's Luca Strick. Oh my gosh, I struggle with this name. Luca Stricagnoli. We're going to learn exactly how to pronounce that in just a minute. Playing a cover that you may recognize, and we will be back with POAC talking about Luca's performance at the Panada Theater in just a minute. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5. You are streaming us from krfy.org. Somebody's got their headphones on, that's for sure, or up a little loud. Let's try this again. Ready? Turn it on.
On.
Test, test.
Test, test.
Okay.
Yes. We're good.
And no feedback or anything. That's great.
Woohoo!
The crew from NAMI and the Clubhouse and Bonner Hill and Lewis Transitions has stepped out, and now here in the studio, Dinah Wall and Tone Lund from POAC, Ponderay Arts Council.
Maybe you should drink some more of that coffee.
You need a little more of that coffee.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah. Okay, there he goes. We got the acronym though. We're trying to get everybody to get that acronym.
Okay.
You know.
And we just heard a song performed by Luca
Stricagnoli. You got it right.
I
heard you. You had it right.
Stricagnoli.
I know it's one of those names that kind of throws you a little bit. But,
yep. I want to say the Strick. Stricagnoli.
Stricagnoli. Yes. Stricagnoli.
Okay.
Stricagnoli. It's probably like flows more, you know, smoothly off of his lips. If he's Italian, he is Italian. He does live in Nashville, Tennessee now, but he hails from Italy and has that little Italian accent.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
Very cool.
The details of the show are he's playing on Friday night.
Tomorrow night. The doors open at 6. He plays at 7.
Okay.
But we do have a free guitar workshop for anybody who is interested. The doors are opening at 3 and at the Panada Theater.
Really?
It'll start at 3:30. It'll be about an hour long.
Cool.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so very cool. He covers a mm-hmm. you know, a wide array of topics, and mm-hmm. anybody who's interested in a guitar or loves guitar music, you don't have to be a guitarist to go, but it's just going to give you a little more inside information as far as how he mm-hmm. creates his music, his history, the instruments, and just everything, really.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So we invite the whole community to come on down for that.
So you can come to that for free, and then there will be a concert later on.
At
7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock.
Yep.
Hey, yeah. There's Brendan from the Panda.
And tickets are $25. Yeah. There are youth tickets for $10. Mm-hmm. So that's important to us mm-hmm. to keep things affordable. That is a big deal. Hi, how are you doing?
Brendan, good to see you. Dino and Tone?
I sure do.
Okay, good. All right. We're a team.
There you go.
Bringers of art.
Yes. And we're talking about the Lucas Stricagnoli performance.
Yes.
Which is coming up tomorrow night. How did you guys, this is part of the POEX Performing Arts Series, the annual Performing Arts Series, and this is the first one.
It is. Right? It's a great way to kick it off. And ticket sales are very strong, which is exciting for us because, you know, you always want to start off that way and we saw him perform a showcase performance at the Arts Northwest Conference. Is somebody already thinking about free tickets?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned out there. We saw him perform at Arts Northwest Conference and we jumped on it immediately and wanted to bring him.
A lot of people did.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was a very extremely popular showcase performance at that conference. So, yeah. And he's fantastic. I mean, you can speak a little bit. You're familiar with his music, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can speak to his virtuosity, but he's almost recreated his own style. He created his own instrument, this three-neck guitar that he had a guitar maker make. And he really plays a finger style. So it's more than just classical. He does mm-hmm. percussion and all sorts of stuff on it.
He's doing about four things at once.
Yeah,
you know,
he's pretty incredible.
He's got this steel string, six string on there. I think he's got a classical six string. Mm-hmm. And he's got a bass guitar, all in one
instrument.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's three necks.
So he's playing. He's playing three of those plus he's like Dino said, he's playing a percussion on the guitar.
Yeah.
So it's.
It's pretty amazing.
And he doesn't miss a note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds very cool to see in person. I would say. So you guys went to this Artist Northwest concert, our conference, showcase.
Yeah, we do that every fall. In fact, next month, Tone and I are going to the Arts Northwest conference, and we'll start booking for the next season. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of our groups. Not all of them come from this conference, but it's a pretty cool thing where you get to see these little 15-minute performances mm-hmm. of all, I mean, everything from theater to dance mm-hmm. to, you know, somebody like Luca, musicians and groups. And, you know, it's a really great place for us to curate our season. And also mm-hmm. we meet with other presenters around the region, and we can get together and do block bookings so that it makes it affordable for everybody for these artists to come on, you know, touring up in this area.
Cool.
But yeah, it's cool.
Is that mainly where you find the artists who are going to perform in the series going on?
Definitely.
Showcases like this? Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I mean, sometimes other opportunities come our way, and, mm-hmm. You know, especially if it's artists that we know of.
Yeah.
Or residencies like last year's, you know, that dance.
Repertory dance theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we do see a lot of great stuff at these conferences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can put your finger on it or put it into words, what are you looking for to fill out the Arts Council's I'll direct that to Tone.
To have a little variety of everything. We like the season to just have something for everyone in it. So we do Living Voices always, which is a historical thing. Missoula Children's Theater, which mm-hmm. involves all the kids in the community, and just try and get a wide variety that appeals to everybody. And then every month you get to see something different and something you might not normally see.
Do you think is the Pondere Arts Council looking for something different than like if Brendan just went from the Panada, would you guys think do you think your vision or your mission is specific in any particular way? Or is there something different that you're looking for than just if you were just booking for like a venue?
Yes, Because we have to have an educational aspect to our shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So every single person that we book has to be able to do some kind of outreach or some kind of master class or you know, go into the schools and do some education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a part of our mission, too, to be culturally diverse. You know, I mean, let's face it, we don't live in a very culturally diverse place. So we want to bring the world to Sandpoint and expose people to things that they might not, you know, see.
Yeah.
And also just like art forms that are maybe old and forgotten, too. Like next month, we have this cellist. He's amazing, Gideon Freudman. And he's a virtuosic cello player. And so he's going to do a cello. The first half of his show is like a cello showcase. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have Buster Keaton's old silent film, Sherlock Jr., which is, you know, a very famous silent film. And he accompanies it. And you almost forget he's on stage because he's doing all of the different, you know, sound effects for this movie from a single cello on stage. And so that's not something that somebody who maybe thought, oh, I need to book this and it needs to sell a lot of tickets or, you know, what I mean, or it needs to appeal to the masses. We're more kind of, you know, like, hey, we want to try and do some of these cool things that and turn people onto things. And like taiko drumming, too. We have taiko drumming, you know, and we also have a dance collision of rhythm happening in May or in April, actually. And then this really cool show that we have in February that Tone really liked a lot called the Wardens. And their wardens are like park rangers up in Canada. That's their name. And these guys, you know, they are in charge of these vast, you know, expanses of wilderness. But they found out these three guys around a campfire, you know, they also like to play music. And so they got together and created this group called the Wardens. And so you're going to hear all this great music. But yet behind it's all these photos that they've taken being, you know, park rangers basically in these beautiful parks.
Yeah, and all the songs are songs that they've written about stories of being wardens up in Canada.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool too.
So it's super fun.
Yeah, but getting back to Luca, I mean, he's really one of the finest guitarists in the world, and to have him here at the Panada Theater is amazing to us. It was just like, wow, to get him. And I don't know if, you know, Rob Talbot, who's the executive director at the Panada, he's like, I want to just take the night off and sit there and watch because he's a big music fan.
Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard that he was coming to your stage?
I hope I have the night off so I can go hang out. I mean, it's rare, you know, for most people, it's rare to want to go back to work on your day off.
Yeah.
And that's exactly just to go check out Luca.
Yeah. So if you don't know who he is, just go and stream some YouTube on him. I mean, if you want to check him out, just look Luca Guitar, even if you can't pronounce his last name or spell it.
The Panada has a great link up of one of his songs.
Oh, good. Okay,
yeah,
good.
So go to the Panada webpage as well.
Panada.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, okay. Definitely. And you can always find what's going on at POAC from going to artinsandpoint.org. So those two websites right there will keep you busy.
Yeah. Yes, they will.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, we present all of our shows for our performing arts season at the Panada Theater. We love to, you know that is POAC's home for our performing arts season. But Panada also has a ton of other things going on.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, they present their own shows. There's other people that rent the venue as well. So there's just a lot going on there.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm at the website right now. Yes, the Panada website, that is.
That's right.
Yes. You guys have a busy month coming up, and it's only getting busier after that.
Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, it's being a community theater, it's awesome to get the input of our partners like POAC and some of the theater groups who bring in that outside influence. So you get a lot of different perspectives. A lot of different perspectives, a lot of different flavors in the theater. So it's awesome.
Before I ask what else is coming up at the Panada, which, like I said, you guys have a busy time. Is there more? I'm not a guitar player, but it just looks cool to me. I don't know. It must be incredibly difficult to learn how to play the guitar like this. Is there anything more we should say about the Luca Stricagnoli performance?
Well, I would say whether you play the guitar or not, you will be blown away by his creativity and virtuosity. It's just remarkable that one person can make all this music out of, you know, one instrument, and mm-hmm. you know, he's going to have a variety of different things that he's going to do. And he's just, yeah, he's, and he's very engaging person too. He's, he loves to talk to the audience, and mm-hmm. you know, he'll, the workshop will be great. I mean, anybody who's interested in music or the guitar, come tomorrow at 3:30 to the Panada, and you'll yeah. get a little, it's like a little peek behind the curtain of what goes on in Luca's life. And he's originally from Italy. He lives in Nashville, Tennessee now, but he's a very cool dude, and it's going to be a real honor to have him on the Panada stage for POAC's first performance. And I mean, Tone can also talk. We have a lot going on too. You know, POAC does so much, not just performing mm-hmm. arts, but also visual arts. And these first Fridays that we've yeah. had at the gallery, the new gallery, which is right across from Jalapenos, have been a huge hit. We have a couple hundred people come through those every month. And our next one is coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be on October 4th, and it's Western Wanderings. And it's artist Brett Renison, and he goes by the artist named Chico Sundown. And his work is just incredible. We've had him in the gallery once before, just a couple of pieces, but this is going to be a solo show.
Chico Sundown.
Chico Sundown.
Don't you love that
cool.
name?
I love that name a lot. that, yeah.
Chico Sundown.
Okay. Is that a picture yeah. there?
Yes.
It's like, it looks very colorful. Yeah. I would say.
Colorful and active. Western. Yeah. Western Wanderings, yes. So, yeah, so the first Friday of every month, there's something mm-hmm. new in the gallery, and there's a whole new show that gets hung there. And, you know, that's just part of our visual arts. And then we also have ancillary galleries all over the community. I mean, Tone can talk about some of those.
Yeah, we have them out at Dover Bay City Hall, P1FCU, the Umpqua Bank Community Plaza, mm-hmm. The Powerhouse.
Elks Golf Course?
No, not Elks anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. They turned into a sports bar. So
oh,
they
okay.
wanted TVs over art.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so okay. we have those galleries happening all over. And of course, yeah. you know, we came off a huge summer of art. We had the, you know, Arts and Crafts Fair. POAC does that. Mm-hmm. Art Walk. We had an art party, artist studio tour just happened 2 weeks ago or so. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a lot going on both visually. And then we also like to support and partner with other organizations like Rob's Maddox Farm Productions, mm-hmm. The Summer Series. POAC is a sponsor of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's
a full plate.
It's a full plate of things going on.
Indeed.
But art, you know, mm-hmm. can you imagine a world without art? We cannot.
No.
That's why we do what we do.
I cannot either.
Yeah.
We are, you're listening to The Morning Show, by the way, on 88.5 KRFY. Dino Wall and Tone Lund are here from the Pondere Arts Council, and Brendan Kelty is here from the Panada Theater. Should we talk a little more about what's going on at the Panada this week, this weekend, this month?
Absolutely.
Okay. What else?
Do you want to go chronologically, or do you want to go big?
let's do.
We have the biggest show right now.
Chronologically, the first okay. one is there anything tonight?
There is.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yep. Across the River and Into the Trees.
Okay.
Based on the 1950 novel by Ernest Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a great cast. That is at 7:00. Doors open at 6:30. That's part of our $5 movie series.
Nice.
That's coming up, yeah. and those have been rocking. I mean, we've been mm-hmm. getting a lot of people in the theater.
Yeah.
For these $5 movies.
It's hard to go to a movie for $5.
That's
I
right.
I know.
Yeah. Anymore.
That's pretty cool.
I know, and we've
got popcorn is affordable too.
The popcorn and the drinks are affordable mm-hmm. as well, so you can actually bring some friends or family in there and mm-hmm. and leave with some money in your pocket.
Yeah. Why are movies so expensive, Brendan? You would know, right? You know.
Yeah.
Why is it more than $5 if I want to go to any other cinema to go see a movie? Is there any reason that the prices just keep going up and up and up?
I think there's a few reasons. One, I mean, one is you have a huge facility.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a lot of income earning potential other than those tickets and the concessions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, mm-hmm. you know, that's why those concessions keep inching up, and just because they can, you're a captive audience.
Right.
Another piece is, you know, the digital format that you receive for those high quality mm-hmm. films are expensive.
Yeah.
You get them from distribution companies. They ship at a high cost. They rent at a high cost. You mm-hmm. only get them for a certain amount of time. And
yeah.
so it's kind of a you know, they got a cornered market on the deal.
Yeah.
And movie theaters had to totally revamp too and invest in a lot of expensive digital equipment over the past 5 years, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them are trying to probably recoup that too, mm-hmm. all the cost of retro, you know, fitting everything to the new requirements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the equipment just continually changes, you know, mm-hmm. continually improves. So
yeah.
But in some theaters, like if you go, I mean, there's probably some in this area too, but like if you go to Oregon, you know, there's a lot of these McMiniman's movie houses and they have, mm-hmm. you know, food and beverage and you can have a beer and wine and all this stuff while you're, and that's probably the future of a lot of movie theaters too. Mm-hmm. I mean, but listen, I think at the Panada, you can have a beer too.
Yes, you can.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is not all.
Which is somewhat novel, you know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's nice, actually. I like to go to the Panada Theater and have a beverage when I'm there. Yeah.
We mm-hmm. just introduced a new old favorite, if that makes sense. Rainier cans.
Oh, no.
At the theater. Oh, so, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yep, okay. I was a little disappointed we didn't have hams, but, yeah. you know, we got the Rainier, so we're in good shape.
Okay. Hey. Don't have to sneak those in anymore. Right. Right there.
Right. Uh-huh. They're much better cold out of the fridge, you know.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is obviously a tangent, not really related to any of you guys, but, you know, you hear Hollywood is kind of in a panic of some kind about people aren't going to the movie theater anymore that much. And it's like, well, maybe if a movie did only cost $5, people would go to the movies more, but whatever.
Well, they have like, you know, bark loungers now and all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make it very comfortable to go, but it's still an experience to go to a theater, and a historic one at that. I mean, that's
the Panada is totally different.
Yeah, it is truly Sandpoint's living room.
It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so we got across the river and into the trees.
Oh yeah,
it's done festivals and stuff like that, but it's just kind of starting its American theatrical run, from mm-hmm. what I understand, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And it's playing at the Panada tonight, tomorrow night, of course, Luca. Strickagnoli.
Strickagnoli. Good job, yeah. Jack.
Okay, thank you.
And you can come in and get comfy at 6, 1 hour before
cool.
The show mm-hmm. starts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else this weekend?
Not this weekend.
Okay.
That'll nice. Do it for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I do want to notice, if it's time, is we have our annual membership meeting coming up on Thursday, October 3rd.
Yes.
And so this is where the rubber meets the road as far as the community theater goes. Mm-hmm. We're looking to get new board members, new volunteers, new subcommittee members.
Mm-hmm.
People. We just want locals to step in to that space and to help guide the theater.
Cool.
So,
well, excellent. And that's in the big theater, little theater?
This Thursday, or sorry. Yeah,
next Thursday.
Next Thursday is in the big theater.
Okay.
Yeah. So
on the 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And anyone who is interested in a membership or a board position, mm-hmm. Just come check out on our webpage, the mm-hmm. little application there. And we have all sorts of people on the board. We've got electricians, bankers, carpenters, mm-hmm. you know, everyone serves a vital purpose over there.
Yeah.
And we appreciate their input. So
cool.
Yeah. If you've got time and you've got some skill in any area, come on out.
All right.
Check us out.
That's next Thursday is the annual meeting. Okay. And anything else we need to mention coming up in, I don't know, next couple of weeks or anything like that?
I don't think so. Well, we are warming up with the Lake Ponderay Repertory Theater.
That's right.
They're going to come take over the Panada for a little while. And
that's exciting.
Yep. Yeah. Steel Magnolias is the production they'll be putting on. So
that'll be good.
Yes. Always a good time to have the local theater in the house.
I think they're coming in, maybe not next week, but the week after that. We'll have some of the cast members here in the radio studio at that time, so we'll talk more about that then. Mm. But yeah, that's going to be a kind of a fun show.
Oh, it will be.
I've been looking into, looked up that play. Apparently it's a little different than the movie that everybody's familiar with.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same basic story, but the play is apparently just the women, and it just takes place in the beauty salon rather than, you know, going out and around, going to the
that'd be
various other places.
That makes the sets easy.
Yeah, it exactly. Does
make, yeah, it makes the sets easy, but I think the play has got stronger reviews than the movie did even. You know, wow.
Like we all laughed and cried.
Exactly. Yeah. The movie, you know, I think a lot of people really love it, but mm-hmm. it is like a tearjerker, and mm-hmm. it gets maybe there's a criticism that it gets a little melodramatic. And I think the play is a little more, I guess, deft in its handling, or a little less deliberately pulling on your heartstrings, and a little more kind of, I don't know.
Would be cool to see the play perhaps. And then watch mm-hmm. the movie.
That yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Hey, Jack, we have a couple tickets to give away.
Oh my goodness!
If someone should can call that? In, oh, the first goodness. Person who can call in and pronounce Luca's last name will win tickets. Okay. Hey, whoever that was that called, give a call back.
Right. Yeah. If you called us earlier, give us a call.
265-2992.
Hey, you know the number.
It's on your wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't give me too much credit.
Yeah. we'll do that. Let me play another. I'll play another Luca song, and then we'll as soon as that starts, we'll do the. We'll give away some tickets. Let me pull up that one that's on the Panada's website here.
Okay, cool.
Smooth Criminal, nice. Okay, this will be the end of the show then.
Here we go.
Okay, there they are. You get the tickets. I'm going to play this song. Anything else you guys need to say before we sign off?
See you tomorrow. Get your tickets. ArtinSandpoint.org.
Okay. Thank you very much. This has been The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY.